Chapter 9. Reparenting Yourself. Peppa Pig, la 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 la. The Peppa Pig jingle is on repeat in my head like a broken record. We're 3 months into the COVID-19 stay-at-home orders. My husband and I are running our business, managing our team, social distancing, and caregiving full-time for a toddler. Like most parents, during the first few months of the shutdown, we don't have childcare, so we do our best to toggle between Zoom calls and nap time. Our normally busy schedule feels even more so with our boss, Oliver, calling the shots. Even though so much uncertainty swirled around me, my internal condition had never felt more steady. All the hard work and therapy was paying off. With my newfound baseline for safety and freedom, I was able to focus, be more present, and enjoy life's simple moments. Importantly, this was crucial for establishing a stronger bond with Oliver. For months, I'd carried the guilt that postpartum depression had gotten in the way of that precious bonding period between a mother and her baby. Now that I was feeling well, I knew it was the optimal time to strengthen my connection to my son and give him the presence, love, and security that every child deserves. Guided toward deeper connection. My intention for deeper connection was enough for the universe to step in and present me with clear direction. For months, a stack of parenting books had been resting on my nightstand. Then one night while meditating, my intuition said to me, "Read the book next to your bed." Whenever I get these inspired hits toward teachers, books, and ideas, I know major guidance awaits. So without hesitation, I grabbed the book at the top of the pile, The Power of Showing Up, How Parental Presence Shapes Who Our Kids Become and How Their Brains Get Wired, by Dr. Daniel Siegel and Tina Payne Bryson. I felt chills run down my spine as I opened the book. I always believe that whatever book lands in our lap is guided to us in the exact moment that we are ready to receive it. Spirit speaks to us through books, and authors become divine guides whether they realize it or not. So here I was, once again, presented with my own spiritual assignment in the exact moment when I could properly receive it. The book moved me so deeply that I think it should be required reading for any parent. The book helped me understand a child's brain wiring, its limitations, and the need for specific styles of nurturing in order to develop properly. I had an amazing revelation as I explored Dr. Siegel's parenting techniques. At first, I thought I was reading these books only to strengthen my bond with Oliver, but I came to see how I could apply them to myself. I could become my own internal parent and heal my past attachment wounds by respecting and honoring my inner child parts by applying the same methods I would offer to my son. In order to establish a deeper connection with Ollie, I had to establish a deeper connection with myself, which meant looking more closely at the ways my past had shaped my present. When we lack security as children, we spend our adult lives searching for it in many ways outside ourselves. Control, addiction, relationships, etc. But what we really need is a newfound security that comes from within ourselves. We have the capacity to connect to self, the parent within, to guide ourselves back to safety. And if you are a parent, you can help your child develop a secure relationship with you because you can now show up for them by showing up for yourself first. Parenting myself meant looking more closely at how my own childhood experience affected my inability to connect or feel safe in intimate relationships. I witnessed how I could never truly trust anyone to help me and how triggered I got when the people who were meant to care for me let me down. I explored all the ways the people in my life reacted when I was disconnected from the present moment. With love and compassion, I bravely witnessed the ways my unresolved childhood attachment wounds kept me from being present in my life and my relationships. Neglect and trauma in my childhood led me to grow up with a disorganized attachment style. Dr. Siegel describes four types of attachment styles that occur in the parent-child relationship. Understanding the attachment styles can help you see how your childhood attachment, or lack thereof, plays a role in your life as an adult. Optimal attachment is when the parent is present and creates a secure environment for the child. At a young age, a child feels safe with the parent and experiences unconditional love. This doesn't mean that the parents are always perfect, but even when they get angry or fly off the handle, they can swiftly repair the situation by taking ownership of their own behavior and apologizing to the child. This helps the child learn that the intention behind the parent's actions is loving and compassionate no matter what. When a child witnesses a parent repair, the child's mirror neurons pick up one of the most important messages from the parent. It's possible to be human and still intend only love. Dr. Siegel often refers to mirror neurons as sponge neurons because the child is literally sponging up what the parent is putting out. Avoidant attachment occurs when a parent is unable to be present. This behavior can send a message to the child that the parent has no intention of connecting to them. The parent's inability to see or acknowledge the child's feelings creates a belief system that emotions do not exist and a sense of emptiness in the child that impacts development. They become unable to relate to their emotions, cut off from their own dreams, desires, intuition, and impulses. They are only able to focus on the physical and factual aspects of life. Ambivalent attachment occurs when a parent has unresolved anxiety and emotions. When a child experiences the parent's anxiety, the child can take on the same emotion. So if a parent shows up for a child's needs with anxiety, the child feels anxious about needing the parent. One day, mom or dad can be reliable, and the next, they are stuck in their own anxiety and disconnected from the child. This leaves the child with insecurity because they sense that they cannot rely on their caregiver to be a steady source of security. Disorganized attachment is the most detrimental and occurs in the case of abuse or neglect. A child experiences disorganized attachment when the parent is the source of harm or fails to provide adequate safety. The child feels the intention to harm from the exact person who is supposed to protect them. In these instances, the brain becomes fragmented due to two conflicting responses, the natural biological response that leads a child toward the parent and a signal from the brain warning that the parent is not safe. This can cause a child to literally walk toward a parent and immediately turn away or even fall to the ground and freeze. When a parent neglects or harms a child, it's often because of the parent's own unresolved trauma or grief. When a parent who experienced disorganized attachment as a child becomes a caregiver, they can unconsciously mirror that same behavior to their child, continuing the cycle. As children, many of us did not foster a secure attachment with our primary caregivers because our core needs of being seen and secure were not met. Throughout our lives, we've been hiding or exiling the parts of ourselves that had unmet needs due to a breach in attachment. We've left those wounded inner child parts in the dark because we learned that they didn't matter or that they were shameful. That emotional denial didn't just go away. In fact, it has dictated the course of our lives. We've lived through the perceptual lens of our early attachment wounds, which can affect every area of life. Learning to reparent myself. I could see how my commitment to transformational recovery would be the path to undoing the parenting patterns I experienced as a child. Dr. Siegel's work taught me that there was hope for rewiring my brain, my nervous system, and my relational attachment style. I no longer felt like the victim of my past. Instead, I accepted I could change my future. When we commit to therapeutic practices, unresolved states become resolved. Neuroplasticity, the ability of the brain to change, has the power to heal the adverse childhood experiences and the impact of trauma. Through awareness and therapeutic practices, we can reverse the consequence of suboptimal attachment and become safe. Learning about attachment styles was another way for me to see myself through the lens of compassion. I could see how I was able to care for myself in the dark moments and guide myself to safety. I could have compassion for my protector parts. I could even see the addict as a part of me who worked hard to protect me from the fear of unresolved traumatic emotions. When we learn to see ourselves through the lens of compassion, it frees us from our past and greatly benefits our own children or children we may care for. Caring for the inner child parts. My devoted pursuit of feeling secure and living from self-energy put me on a spiritual path of caring for the child parts of myself in ways I'd never been cared for. I accepted that I could be the leader in undoing the past so that I could live free the rest of my life, safe, secure, and cared for in the present moment. No partner, child, career accomplishment, friend, or outside force could help me establish the secure attachment I longed for. It had to come from my own resourced self, with the support of spiritual faith and a willingness to grow. I welcomed spiritual guidance and asked the universe for support in the journey of reparenting myself. Universal support showed up in Dr. Siegel's message that secure attachment comes from establishing an environment in which a child feels safe, seen, soothed, and secure, the four S's. All that children need to grow up resilient and healthy is to feel the presence of the four S's in their developmental years. The heartbreaking truth is that these primary needs of a child are far too often unmet. When we grow up lacking the security of the four S's, we wind up searching for it in relationships, money, career credentials, or any outside source. I knew it was imperative to make the four S's my highest parenting priority to help Oliver become a resilient, healthy adult. Once again, my commitment to Oliver became another way the universe guided me to care for my inner child. Practice the four S's with yourself. Helping my inner child parts feel safe, seen, soothed, and secure became a transformational practice that I now bring into every day of my life. I bring the same level of commitment to reparenting myself that I do for my son. As I made the four S's a habit for my son, they became a habit for how I cared for myself. It became clear to me that my son was a powerful teacher for me on my healing path. Having a child helps us face the ways our inner child parts may not have received the optimal care they deserved. Facing that truth gives us the opportunity to provide that care for ourselves in a way we'd never received it. Now it's your turn to give yourself the security that you may have been missing in your childhood. Follow my guidance and let yourself relish in the endless stream of love that comes through. Here's a breakdown of the four S's and how to apply them to your own inner child. I encourage you to examine each of these areas and gently find ways to create an environment for yourself that helps you feel safe, seen, soothed, and secure. And if you're a parent, I strongly encourage you to apply these practices with your children. Safe. We can't protect our children from every possible dangerous or adverse moment in life, but we can help them establish a sense of inner safety that will ultimately help them be resilient. Resilience provides one of the best chances for our children to live as healthy adults. This got me thinking about how I could help myself commit to living with a sense of safety. So I made a list. How I've kept my inner child safe. Committing to weekly therapy sessions. Meditating for 40 minutes a day to regulate my nervous system and release stress. Advocating for myself in my work, with doctors, and in my relationships. Practicing sleep hygiene so that I could fall asleep and stay asleep throughout the night. Creating a home environment that felt comfortable and secure. Eating healthy food and taking supplements that made me feel confident in my ability to care for my body. The list went on and on. Taking note of all the ways I'd established a safe environment to live in helped me further commit. I made sure that I was anchoring each day with those practices. And whenever I'd notice myself out of alignment or feeling unsafe, I'd return to one of my self-care practices to reestablish an inner sense of safety. This practice is very empowering because it allowed me to stop relying on the outside to make me feel safe. In turn, it showed me that I had the ability to restore a sense of inner safety without the need of an outside source. If you feel called, make your own list now. How have you established safety in your life? If for some reason you can't think of anything, consider the fact that listening to this book is an act of establishing a new baseline of safety. Scene. Truly seeing a child, says Dr. Siegel, means we pay attention to his emotions, both positive and negative, and strive to attune to what's happening in his mind beneath his behavior. Honoring a child's emotions, positive or negative, is one of the greatest gifts we can give them. But it's far too often that children grow up without being seen because their parents are unable to see their own emotions, let alone hold space for their child's big feelings. I had spent most of my life trying to be seen, flaunting my accomplishments to anyone who would listen. But as I healed more, I outgrew that need. My newfound ability to honor my emotions and stay in tune with my spiritual connection gave me the greatest gift of all, the ability to care for myself because the person who mattered most finally saw me. I could see myself. Truly seeing yourself doesn't happen overnight, especially if you grew up with an insecure attachment style. Don't let that hold you back. The past can be remedied by reparenting yourself in the present. You have the power to care for and acknowledge your emotions on a moment-to-moment basis. Your conscious awareness of your emotional reactivity, all of your parts and their extreme roles, and your desire to be seen is enough to start truly seeing yourself. Here's how I began. I got curious about my emotional state rather than my reactive state. Whenever I noticed myself getting highly reactive, acting out, or feeling out of control, I knew that core emotions, inner child parts, needed respect and care. So instead of bulldozing past the emotions or shaming myself for how I reacted, I would ask myself a simple question. What do you need to feel right now? Then I gave myself permission to fully feel, honor, and respect whatever emotions came up. I let myself feel the rage, the anger, the frustration, the fear. I allowed myself to breathe into the space in my body where those emotions lived. And usually within a minute or so, I'd notice my energy shift, my ability to problem solve come back online, and my child parts were cared for. By simply giving myself permission to be with and honor my emotions through inquiry and breath, I was able to see all of myself. I've come to rely on this practice. Try it out for yourself. The next time you notice yourself becoming reactive, stuck in an addictive pattern, or unconsciously emotional, ask yourself this. What do you need to feel right now? Don't judge the response that comes back. Give yourself permission to feel whatever comes up. Breathe into it. Write it down. And honor your feelings. Unapologetically take time to truly see yourself and all of your big emotions. Give yourself the chance to be seen by you. Soothed. When it comes to parenting, soothing isn't about doing everything for your child. It's about teaching your child that you will be there to help them show up for difficult experiences, helping them know they are not alone. When it came to soothing my inner child parts, I intuitively turned to my spiritual practice. Throughout my life, I've learned to rely on a spiritual connection as a way to soothe me in times of need and to know that I was never alone. I still need soothing from my friends, therapists, and husband, but I'm not dependent on others to soothe me. I can turn to God, the universe, or spirit to bring me the ease I long for. And as I learned more from IFS therapy, I realized that prayer and spiritual connection are a bridge back to my undamaged resource self energy. Self is always there for me. I just need to turn to it for help. Some of the most profound moments of serenity have come through surrendering my protector parts to the care of self. No matter how difficult the circumstances, I have access to spiritual intuitive solutions through self and the ever-present connection to love within me. Self is always there to show up and soothe the child parts. The following meditation will help you feel soothed and connected to your own spiritual connection, your true nature, yourself. Meditation for self-soothing. Sit comfortably in a chair with your feet planted firmly on the ground. Roll your shoulders back and gently close your eyes. Place your right hand on your heart and your left hand on your belly. Notice any area in your body where you're experiencing any physical or emotional sensation. Breathe into that space in your body, and on the exhale, release. As you breathe, honor all the feelings and emotions that come through. Stay present with your feelings and emotions. Breathe more deeply into the feelings, and on the exhale, allow them to relax. With each breath, honor exactly how you feel. Do not try to push anything away. Become present with what needs to come through. Allow your breath to become a source of soothing. Breathe in deeply. Exhale completely. Each breath becomes a gentle release and opportunity for relief. Breathe in. Breathe out. Continue this cycle of breath on your own. Breathe into the feelings. On the exhale, release them. Breathe into the feelings. On the exhale, release them. Let your breath soothe you now. When you're ready, open your eyes to the room. Secure. When a child knows that they can consistently count on the parent to provide safety, opportunities to be seen, and soothing in times of need, the child will feel secure attachment. And that child is likely to thrive. Living the four S's helped me establish an inner sense of security. Even applying and committing to one of the four S's will change the way you live. You'll no longer rely on other people to be your source of safety and security. You'll feel a sense of confidence and ease, knowing that you are never alone and that you have the ability to care for yourself. Your relationships will grow and change because you'll let others off the hook, which will in turn give them permission to show up for you with more authenticity and less pressure. And you'll be able to care for and honor the children and loved ones in your life because you'll know what it truly means to care for yourself. Take the four S's to heart and give yourself the opportunity to parent yourself in a way that you never thought possible. Establishing a strong connection with my own inner parent, the self, has given me the security I always longed for. The best way I can describe this feeling is through an image. The image is a sketch on the cover of Richard Schwartz's latest book, No Bad Parts. When I received the book in the mail, this image brought me to tears. The visual, a drawing of a person holding themselves in an embrace, reflected the inner safety I finally felt. The safety of knowing that at any moment I could turn to and rely on self to lead me back to peace. That sense of inner safety may feel far from reach, but I promise it's available to you. Don't underestimate the spiritual process that is occurring for you now. Opening up your conscious awareness to your own attachment wounds is an invitation for transformational healing. It's the first step in caring for your own inner child parts that have been hidden for so long. You've opened the door for intuitive guidance and universal support. Practicing one of the four S's is a radical act of self-care and can begin a journey of showing up for yourself in a way you never thought possible. Take that in and allow the inner transformation to unfold one miraculous step at a time. Let self become the leader. With each day that went by focusing on my recovery, I became closer and more connected to self. It became easier to witness my wounded child's coping mechanisms through the lens of love and respond to those triggered parts by applying one of the four S's or other practices. Now when I'm triggered, instead of freaking out, I tune into my body and emotions and breathe into the feelings rather than running from them or pushing them away. I even wrap my arms around myself, like the image from Schwartz's book cover, to give myself a hug. I have developed a toolbox of methods for self-regulation and connection to my own inner being. In Chapter 7, you took the first step toward reparenting yourself. you began to recognize the ways you've been protecting yourself. And we introduced the idea of letting your adult resourced self show up to support your child parts. The more we learn to rely on self, the easier it becomes for the protectors to relax. When you establish a relationship to self, you'll begin to intuitively know how to care for your protectors and therefore care for your inner exiled child parts that didn't receive healthy attachment. The more you strengthen your connection to self, the easier it will be for self to soothe them in the moment, which in turn helps them let go of their extreme protective roles. Connect to self through meditation. This meditation will give you the beautiful opportunity of connecting to your undamaged, all-knowing self, the inner parent that has always been there to help all of your parts coexist in harmony. Connecting to self is a profound experience because it will give you a sense of safety and the belief that you can care for, support, and love yourself in any given moment. In this IFS practice, I will encourage you to breathe, relax, and feel your heart. Close your eyes and take long, deep breaths. Allow your breath to regulate your nervous system and guide you into a parasympathetic, relaxed state. Notice your diaphragm move naturally with each inhale and exhale. Breathe in deeply. Exhale completely. As you breathe, direct your focus inside and invite your body to relax a little bit. There's nowhere to go, nothing to do. Just breathe. Identify any area of your body where there may be tension and gently direct your breath into that space in your body. Breathe in. Then on the exhale, invite your body to let go. Now bring awareness to your heart. Breathe and focus on your heart. Pay attention to the inflow and outflow. With each breath, notice whether your heart feels open or closed. Allow your heart to open as you breathe and create more space in your heart. Notice whether you have any thoughts or feelings. Become aware of sensations in your body. Just notice. Notice who is there. Don't judge or attack what's happening inside. If you notice any parts that are judging your experience, gently ask them to relax and breathe. If you notice that you're being pulled away from yourself, that's fine. Just gently breathe and refocus on your inner awareness again. Continue breathing and feeling your heart. Continue to notice sensations, feelings, thoughts, and how you're feeling toward all of it. Feel what it's like to be with yourself. If you feel inspired, pick up your pen and write about anything you noticed, how you're feeling now, and what that experience was like. A prayer to connect to self. Whenever I find myself disconnected from self, I say a prayer to self. The same way I intuitively pray to God, spirit, angels, or the universe, I pray to self. To me, they are one and the same, an ever-present energy of love guiding my thoughts back to the present moment. Here are some examples of prayers to self that have greatly benefited my life. I welcome self to care for all of my parts. May self energy support me in this moment. May all parts be led by self. I surrender this extreme part to the care of self. I welcome self to reorganize this for me. May all parts feel love and accepted by self. Praying to self is a divine practice of inviting self energy into your consciousness to alchemize your triggered parts in the moment. Each time we turn to self through prayer, we strengthen our connection. These prayers offer all of your parts the chance to calm down and be cared for. Connect to self in nature. I've found that a great way to connect to the energy of self is in nature. If I'm struggling with work or stuck in a protector part, I'll go for a walk outside. I will even go as far as to ask self to take my protector parts for a walk to calm them down. While walking in nature, I'll connect to my breath, ground my body, and allow the physical movement to clear the stagnant tension built up by my protectors. When I focus my attention on the blue sky or on taking in the fresh air, I experience the sensation of presence, thereby reconnecting to self. Try this out. The next time you notice yourself triggered by a protector part, take a walk outside, sit in the grass, go to a nearby park. Getting into nature will reconnect you with all of your senses, ground you back into your body, and realign you with the presence of the energy of self that is always available to you. When you let self lead, you're showing your protectors and exiles that you are always there to support them no matter what. You learn to self-soothe in the moment and therefore establish a greater sense of security in your mind, body, and spirit. Self becomes the reliable parent who can show up for you whenever you feel unsafe or alone. Self-regulating. These practices helped me respect my exiled inner child parts whose emotions were neglected, denied, or ignored in some way. Little Gabby no longer had to show up in excessive ways to be seen and soothed. Whenever I felt uncared for, I could notice a protector part of me would begin to freak out, raise her voice, fight back, and try to gain some semblance of control, just like I did when I was a child. But now, instead of going into a full trigger response, I'd let self speak to that part. Thank you for your great work. You did a beautiful job protecting yourself. Now it's time to take a breath and let your child parts be cared for and brought back to safety. This simple inner dialogue between self and my other parts give me a great sense of inner strength and security. Rather than expecting myself to never be triggered again, to never act out, I instead allowed self to show up and parent those trigger parts back to safety. This is the greatest practice of resilience. The promise of resilience. Respecting a child's feelings is an act of respecting their brain development and their human condition. It's common for a parent to want to shush a child or say, "You're fine, you're okay." But when we shush and dismiss with our words or attitude, it's like saying, "Your feelings don't matter." Connection is key to helping a child feel worthy of their big emotions and preventing shame so they become resilient. The same goes for how we care for our inner child. With the practices that you've learned, you're reparenting yourself and caring for every part of who you are. So the next time you feel triggered or notice a protector part take over, ask yourself the following questions. What do I need to feel safe right now? What do I need to feel seen right now? What do I need to feel soothed right now? And what do I need to feel secure right now? Between each question, pause and allow your adult-resourced self to speak. Trust the inner guidance that you receive. This inquiry is a spiritual conversation between your inner child parts and your adult-resourced self. It's a form of prayer. Each time you connect to and care for your child parts, you strengthen your relationship with the inner wisdom of your resourced self. Committing to this connection will help you establish the greatest relationship you'll ever know, the secure relationship to self that you could always rely on. Developing this connection is like reclaiming the security you once lost as a child. Relying on your own inner parent will give you a newfound sense of safety and resilience to move through life with grace. If you take 5 minutes to sit with these questions and get curious, you'll allow your protectors and child parts to speak up and be heard. You'll then be able to soothe them with compassion. That soothing will make you feel safe and secure. And in that state of security, your protectors can step back to let the self lead. Once you notice that you're out of the triggered state and back into self, you can then redirect. But connection is required first. If you attempt to do this out of order, your child parts will only get more agitated, and your protectors will get louder. Living these practices promises resilience. When faced with difficult situations, you'll know where to turn to for support. When overwhelmed by life issues, you'll know how to calm yourself before you begin to problem solve. When activated in a relationship, you'll know how to deactivate the childhood triggers and get back to safety. Best of all, you'll know how to care for yourself in ways that you may have never experienced. As I complete this chapter, Ollie is running around my office playing with my affirmation cards. I asked him to empty the box and put all the cards in the box. As he excitedly puts the cards back in the box, I notice him looking up at me. I say, "Ollie, would you like Mommy to read her book to you?" He responds, "Yeah," and continues boxing up his cards. As I read the words in this chapter, tears stream down my face. I recognize how grateful I am to have been able to show up for myself in all the ways I want to show up for him.